From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and a reminder that you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Also, the resource of the month, Gay Girl, Good God, the story of how I was and who God has always been. The story by Jackie Hill Perry, who is an extraordinary writer. She actually writes as a poet would write. And that story encapsulated in the book could not be more timely than it is in this epoch of time. Your copy available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Today I want to deal with the issues that are at the forefront of everybody's mind. The issues of racism, the issues of intersectionality, issues of Black Lives Matter, the issue of so many related matters, including Marxism. And all of that came up in my mind as a result of an email by Dawn, who writes, I understand that the current anti-racism movement is rooted in atheistic Marxism and rejects the Christian ethic and worldview. But in rejecting Christianity, the anti-racism movement forfeits the only worldview that can account for racial equality, the biblical teaching that all people have intrinsic worth in virtue of being created in the image and likeness of God. Moreover, the only origin account available for the Marxist atheist is the Darwinian story. Yet, I've heard you, Hank, say Darwinianism is inherently racist. That's quite ironic. And I was wondering if you could speak to the ways in which Darwinian evolution is racist. Thank you. Well, in response to Don's question, let me first say that his observations, posited as a question, are right on. That the current anti-racism movement is indeed rooted in atheistic Marxism. Karl Marx, in fact, described history in much the same way that such pseudo-anti-racist groups as Black Lives Matter do, namely that history is a series of struggles between oppressors and the oppressed, between the dominant and the disadvantaged. Their notion of social justice is based on what is called critical social theory or critical race theory, which was coined, by the way, within a Marxist context. As such, social justice, from their perspective, is viewed through the lens of intersectionality, white privilege, white fragility, and monikers that are similar to that. Their dichotomy fault line runs along racial, social, sexual, gender, and other such factors that distance the disadvantaged from the dominant. Intersectionality complicates the matter in that racial and gender identity groups intersect and interact as complex pseudo-sociological systems. I should also note that hegemony is viewed in critical race theory as the principal paradigm of oppression in that it is embedded in culture and thus continues to work systematically toward oppression of disadvantaged groups. Social justice from the Marxist perspective then means the dominant groups must defer to the lived experience of disadvantaged groups in the process of dismantling society and remaking it according to neo-Marxist social justice paradigms. The neo-Marxist critical race theory paradigm is rooted in a very different meta-narrative than that which is Judeo-Christian. Now, this grand meta-narrative is all the more self-stultifying in that the movement embraces, as Don rightly supposes, an evolutionary worldview which itself is inherently racist. Well, according to Marxist evolutionary theory, at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man, read the dominant races, will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races, think disadvantaged races, throughout the entire world. Not long after Darwin's critical evolutionary race theory was published, it was institutionalized as the very backbone of a massive educational indoctrination project. And the centerpiece, from a practical perspective, was the famed biological text, A Civic Biology, a text which was used to convince impressionable students that humanity has an evolutionary hierarchy, that five races exist upon the earth, the Negro type, the Malay, the American Indian or red race, the Mongolian, and finally the highest type of all, the Caucasians, represented by white inhabitants of Europe and America. And then the text goes on to say that the remedy for those not well-born, again, think disadvantaged, should be extermination. This is not stated implicitly. It is spelled out explicitly in the text. Let me read from the text. If such people were lower animals, we would probably kill them off to prevent them from spreading. Imagine this. A biology text at the center of the biggest storm that was ever created between the evolutionary and the Christian worldview. Little wonder then that Margaret Sanger, the birth mother of Planned Parenthood, was bent on the extermination of those not well born, those who represented a throwback from her perspective to earlier stages of human evolution. Now, I say all that because it's not hard to grasp why critical race theorists today are loath to connect the dots for their devotees. Why instead, well, they're blinding them with a host of monikers that are self-stultifying and contradictory. This, of course, is the word or moniker crisis written about in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. This crisis, a crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization. So yes, the current anti-racism movement is ironically rooted in an inherently racist Marxist paradigm. And by the way, so is the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm not talking about the moniker here, but I am talking about the movement. And I'm not talking out of school. I'm not making things up. All of you can go to their website and see that what I'm saying comes from their words, their sentiments, clearly spelled out. In fact, when we come back from the break, I'm going to play you a clip from a co-founder of the Black Lives Matter movement. It's chilling. Bottom line, Don's question says it all. Namely, that the current anti-racism movement is rooted in atheistic Marxism, that it rejects the Christian ethic and worldview, which is the only worldview that can adequately account for racial equality. By the way, after the break, I think I'm going to address the question of Marxism. What is Marxism? A lot of people hear that term, or they hear the term socialism or communism. What does that mean, and how does it apply to the current situation? As we go to break, my thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. This voice is heard only because of your generosity. And by giving, you're making a difference in the lives of people, not only in the West, but all over the world. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Be right back with the answer to the question, what is Marxism?
When the psalmist invited us to come and hear, he was inviting us to enjoy the goodness of God with him. Jackie Hill Perry believes that her book, Gay Girl, Good God, is no different. Every word, sentence, and paragraph are an explanation of how good God has been to her. The same God who did something wonderful to the soul of the psalmist, and the same God who did an equally beautiful thing to her soul, He is, even now, more than able to do the same for you and every soul alive. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity, but how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward Him right in her own bedroom through the light of His gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Before the break, I was answering an email from Don who makes the point that anti-racist movement is rooted in atheistic Marxism and rejects the only worldview that can truly account for racial equality. So that begs the question, what is Marxism? And I think this is an important question because today's social justice theorists are wont to characterize the history of capitalism as a history of slavery, environmental pollution, and colonialism. And added to the problem is the fact that very few church leaders seem equipped to communicate the virtues of free market capitalism in the process of proliferating prosperity. In fact, all too many buy into the materialist myth that wealth is not created, it is simply transferred. Few seem equipped to articulate that in order to prosper, there must be a willingness to perpetuate stable families, to live by an ethic of self-sacrifice and delayed gratification. And nor do the social justice warriors of our day recognize the paradox that the redistribution of material wealth negates the key source of material wealth, which, of course, is immaterial. In fact, is spiritual. Black Lives Matter co-founders Alicia Garza and Patrice Cullors are very, very frank, in fact, unashamed, in declarations that they are trained Marxists. Marxists who want to disrupt the nuclear family. And this is so incredible that I'm not asking you to take my word for it. Listen, as the co-founder of Black Lives Matters articulates this very verity.
I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories.
And by the way, the Alicia Garza that she's referencing there describes herself as a queer social justice activist and a Marxist. She's married to her husband, Malachi, who is a transgender male activist. And of course, as I've said on other Bible Answer Man broadcasts, their website is unabashedly complaining about the nuclear family, in fact saying that we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure and that we foster instead a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, which begs again the question, what is Marxism? In the Communist Manifesto written by Marx and Engels, Marxist ideology is described as a series of struggles between oppressors and the oppressed, between dominant and disadvantaged. Each struggle punctuated by social disruption in which one system gives rise to another. In fact, according to the manifesto, the ideal state of humanity was realized as a sort of primeval communism in which the notion of private property was repudiated. The advent of mass slavery in ancient cultures, followed by feudalism, and finally, the perceived horrors of capitalism coalesced to, they say, uproot the primeval utopia of the communist worldview. capitalism then is viewed as the ultimate evil, an evil that is now sowing the seeds of its own destruction by creating rich bourgeoisie capitalists and an oppressed proletariat working class. Marx, of course, predicted that the oppressed proletariats would riot, revolt, would loot, and that this would lead inexorably toward the dictatorship of the proletariat. A dictatorship in which the state would own all industry and where eventually the state would give way to the utopian brotherhood of all humanity. As with the Black Lives Matter manifesto. The Communist Manifesto was loath to conceal its views and its aims. These aims, read the manifesto, can only be obtained by the forcible overthrow of existing social conditions. Let the ruling classes tremble at the communist revolution. The proletariats have nothing to lose but their chains. Sound familiar? Working men of all countries unite. For when we prevail and our utopia is ushered in, there will be no religion, no possessions, only the brotherhood of man. Marxism, then, is a secular humanist experiment attempting to establish a godless kingdom on earth. Think back, not long ago, mid-20th century, virtually half of humanity was held captive to an ambitious Marxist experiment. And what was the result? 100 years ago today, prices were a million times greater than when the revolution began. Productivity and employment plummeted, as did all standard of living metrics. There were food shortages, mass strikes, famine, and drought. Marxism, as the founders of Black Lives Matter movement know full well, did not produce human freedom, but rather produced food shortages and starvation. The attempt to create the ideal man in the ideal society, to draw heaven down to earth, to negate the Christian verity that socialism only works in heaven where they don't need it, and in hell where they already have it, has resulted in chaos and calamity. Capitalism, by contrast, is not as it is supposed or as it is caricatured by the Black Lives Matter movement. It is not based on greed. It is based on innovation, on imagination, on creative genius, the kind of genius that we are endowed with by our Creator. And Christian capitalism, that conceived of in the context of the Judeo-Christian tradition, is even better in that it discourages hoarding and encourages enterprise. Why? Because like the rich man and Lazarus in Christ's poignant and profound parable, we will all give an account of what we have done for the poor and for the downtrodden. And if, like the rich man, we have ignored their plight, we will suffer the consequences throughout eternity. St. Basil the Great warned, "You gorgeously array your walls, but you don't clothe your fellow human being. You adorn your horses, but turn away from the shameful plight of your brother or sister. You allow grain to rot in your barns, but do not feed those who are starving. You hide gold in the earth, but ignore the oppressed." Capitalism must always be seen within the context and through the lens of Christianity. That's why I talk about Christian capitalism. Capitalism, or responsibility, associated with wealth. As St. John Chrysostom has well said, the rich exist for the sake of the poor. The poor exist for the salvation of the rich. In social justice theory, we need to look through the proper lens, that of a Christian worldview. Much more of that to come on future editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, do remember once again, Gay Girl, Good God, The Story of Who I Was and How God Has Always Been by Jackie Hill Perry. It's a must read, available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Get your copy for your support on the web at equip.org. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Concerning those struggling with sexuality, you and I have an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ and share the life-transforming power of biblical truth. Gay Girl, Good God by Jackie Hill Perry tells a powerful story of transformation and hope that multitudes today urgently need to hear. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity. But how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward him right in her own bedroom through the light of his gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.